today, and this is actually what to do when your prayers seem unanswered. And I think we've all been there. I said, God, are you, you know, where are you? Like, I've been praying for this. I've been praying for this. I've been praying for this. And there's no, you know, you don't have an answer yet, you know. So Andrew Womack, who's the founder of the ministry, who's, you know, he wrote this guy with his friend Don Crow. He wrote this lesson, and he taught him this lesson. And so we're going to read from his lesson, and we're going to get on his perspective about what to do when your prayers seem unanswered. So he begins by saying that he's sharing about what to do when your prayers seem unanswered, right? And he's going to emphasize on this lesson on the fact that your prayers seem to be unanswered. And a lot of us, again, you know, I said that to myself, Lord, why isn't my prayer being answered yet? And the reality is that I know, you know, that the second your prayer goes out, it's already done. You know what I mean? Like, it is answered, right? So, you know, the lesson goes on to say that the truth is that God always, always answers any prayer that is prayed according to His word in faith. In other words, any prayers that we do that is according to His will and His word does get answered. Amen. So let's go to scripture. Let's go to the first book of John, chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. We're going to get some revelation today.
What was the scripture again?
1 John. 1 John. So the back of the Bible. We're going to go to chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And it says, because I'm going to read from the New King James, because they like to use King James. So, and it says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, in God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Right? So, and when you read this verse, you know, there is like a lot of assurance, you know, on what he just said. Like, there's confidence. That's pure confidence in God. That means that God always answers prayer, but it doesn't always look like it's answered, you know? But the word of God saying He always answers, but sometimes when you look around, you're like, I don't have my answer yet, right? Mm-hmm. But let's go to Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew. Let's go to chapter 7. And let's go to 7 through 8. 7 through 8. Chapter 7, 7 through 8. And it says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Right? So, here we have these verses are saying that God does answer prayer. Yet, every one of us can think of a time in our lives when we asked for something that we believe was the right thing, a good thing, not something selfish, not something out of character, right, or outside of God's will, yet we did not get the answer for it. Mm-hmm. We didn't receive the answer. But the Word of God is telling us today that it says to ask. And when you ask, you will receive it. It will be given to you. But our experience says we asked and it wasn't given to us, which Which is true? Which one is true? The answer may surprise you, Andrew Sain. Because the truth is that probably both are true. And most people think, right? Now, wait a minute. You know, check this out. Hear this out. God's word says he will answer, but I didn't see it happen. I didn't get the response or an answer that I was waiting for. So now let's go back to scripture, right? Gospel of John 4:24. Just following the lesson. So if you have the lesson, you can follow with me. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth, right? So what the word is saying, that God operates in the supernatural. God operates in the spiritual realm to answer our prayers. But it takes faith on our part.
Right.
For whatever answer or for the prayer to manifest in the natural.
Yes.
Faith is exactly what takes things from the spiritual realm or from the spiritual world, right? And moves them into the physical.
Mm-hmm.
Into the physical world, into the natural. And this is what the book of Hebrews basically says in, let's go there, Hebrews 11:1. Let's go there.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, now faith, right, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? So it didn't say faith is the evidence of things that don't exist. They do exist, but they're not in the scene, right? In the physical world. But it's in the unseen. That means it's still in the spiritual realm. So faith reaches over into the spiritual realm or the supernatural realm and then begins to draw those things into the physical world or the natural. Into the natural.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where faith comes in. It's like, you know, reminds me of, I believe, Rosie, Matthew 11:23-24, right? Right? Matthew 11, I don't know, I'm just going to go there right now, because it just came to mind, so I just want to go there. So Matthew, I believe it's Matthew 11:23-24. If it's not Matthew, it's going to be Mark. So, let me see. I hope.
No,
it's Mark. Go to Mark. I know. It's got to be Mark then. Yep, it's Mark. Okay, sorry. I knew it was one of them. But Mark 11:23, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. That's faith. You can't see it. It's still not in the physical world. It's still not manifested. But in your heart, you need to know it's already done. God did it. Whatever I ask, it's already done. Just like when we pray and we declare the word over Beacon of Light Church, and we're declaring, Lord God, I thank you that the finances are coming from the north, south, east, and west. It's already done. Because where God guides, that's where he provides. His bill, right? His will is his bill. That's what I say all the time. Because God is the source. God is the source. God is the provider. So again, it doesn't say in Hebrews 11:1, it doesn't say faith is the evidence of things that don't exist. No. They do. They're real. They're there. They're just not seen yet. Right? So, but faith reaches over into the spiritual, the supernatural realm, and begins to draw those things into the physical world. And then Andrew here makes it like almost like an analogy, right? And he picks a radio signal. Radio and television stations, they broadcast constantly. You know, we always have our TV on. We got, you know, we hear the radio in the car, at home, whatever. And we can be in a room where you can't see or hear the signals, but that doesn't mean they aren't there. Right. You have to turn on a radio, right? And tune into that frequency, just like your phone. Frequency, the one that you want to hear. See, remember those CDs? You had to go into the right channel, the right frequency to hear something? Mm-hmm. Same thing. Mm-hmm. So the radio pulls those signals out of the realm, right? You can't perceive, and it rebroadcasts them into the realm where you can hear it, that the human ear can actually hear it, right? But we don't see those frequencies. We can't see those frequencies, but yet they're there, because out of those broadcasting, there's going to come out a sound, and we're going to be able to hear it with our human ear.
I'm gonna turn it up.
Right? So God answers our prayers in a similar way. He gives things in the spiritual realm by faith. You have to reach out and bring them into the physical world. Mm-hmm. So it's saying here, you have to reach out. See, you're the one that has to ask. You're the one that has to seek. You're the one that has to knock. You're the one that has to walk in faith. God already did what he had to do. God already moved on our behalf. God already sent his son. And because he paid our full debt, now we have access to everything, to all the blessings, to everything. We have access to the supernatural because we're supernatural, spiritual beings, supernatural beings living in a human. We have access. We have the Holy Spirit living in the inside of us. We have access. We have partnered with the Holy Spirit. So God moves, right, and answers your prayer, but you may never see it manifest in the physical world unless you let faith, your faith, bridge the gap between the unseen spiritual realm and the physical world that we are living in. It's powerful, right? God moves and answers our prayers. He really does. But we gotta walk by faith. We gotta believe by faith. We gotta stand by faith. Listen, the same way you received salvation, you did it by faith. You couldn't see God. You couldn't see the Son of God. You couldn't see the Holy Spirit. But somehow, you believed by faith that he was, the Lord Jesus was the Son of Man. That he was the Son of God. That he died on the cross and he resurrected on the third day. That because he died, our sins are fully forgiven. Past, present, and future. But you didn't see the Lord Jesus. You just heard about him.
Yep.
And when you accepted him, guess what? He gave you his measure of faith. So everybody right here, we all have the same measure of faith. And we have the faith of God. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's in Romans 12:3. Let's go to Romans. Let's read it for ourselves, okay? Romans 12:3. I believe that's where it's at.
Yes.
It says, for I say, through the grace given to me, this is Paul speaking, right? To everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. We don't need more faith. We have the perfect faith. We have the faith of God the Father. Mm-hmm. We have his faith. And everyone here, just because I have a title of pastor, doesn't mean I have more faith than you do. Okay? We all have the same measure of faith. I may be a little bit more mature in the Word. I may know, you know, maybe where the Word is, maybe Scripture. But that means nothing if I don't walk by faith. Knowledge doesn't mean anything if it's not connected with the spiritual realm. If I ignore the Holy Spirit, my knowledge does me no good. It doesn't do any good for anybody else or even the church. If I'm not connected with the Holy Spirit, with God himself, and remain connected, I'm the branch, God is the vine, I got to remain connected in order for my words to give life to others. Because my words that are coming out of my mouth is God's word. And my walk has to be by faith. But if I'm not connected, I ain't going to be walking by faith. I'm going to be walking by my own understanding. So we got to remain connected to the vine all the time. And let no one deceive you into telling you, you know what, you need more faith. You need more faith so your prayers can get answered. No, you don't. You already have the faith of God. You just have to walk it out, exercise it, believe. Just like we read in Mark 11, 23, 24. If you believe, you already have it. You gotta see it. You gotta see it. That's another thing. You have to see things. You have to imagine. Put your imagination to work. You gotta see it in your eyes, in the spiritual realm. You gotta see it so it can manifest in the natural.
Yeah,
you have
to see it in your mind's eye.
Exactly. You gotta put on God's lenses. You got to walk the way God walked. And he was constantly talking to God the Father, the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. So, again, God moves. He answers prayer. Amen? But everything is based on faith. It is by faith that we receive. It is by faith that we please God. Everything is by faith. I had to minister to a few people this week. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I had two individuals this week. Last week that they like, you know what? I have no hope. I have no hope.
Well,
I said, no. God, it's not over. It's not over until God says it's over. You have purpose in this world. Don't give up hope. The minute you give up hope, you give up your faith. And we cannot please God if we don't have any faith. We got to walk it out by faith. But faith is intertwined with hope. Faith doesn't work without hope. And hope doesn't work without faith.
Without faith, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I had to, you know, I began to quote scripture to them. And I believe I quoted, my goodness, I think it's Isaiah 29. It could be Isaiah 26:3 about the peace of God. But no, there was another scripture, and I can't remember it right now. But it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Okay? And I said, yeah, probably. The number just skipped me. But it's funny because I send it to. But, you know, but it doesn't stop there. I said, listen, This is why you keep getting sick. This is why you still have pain in your hand. This is why you're still going through this A, B, and C, because you have allowed Satan to steal your joy, to steal your hope. No, there's work for you to be done. God has purpose for you. And I had to, you know, and I gave a scripture, but it was, you know, I didn't end it there. I need you to see this, because we're talking about faith. We're talking about hope here. Oh, I'm not even looking at, okay, hold on. Proverbs 13:12, I believe that's what it was. Because I sent it to this lady. I don't want to mention names. So, you know what? We need to go there. We need to go there. 13:12. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. You see? So, as long as you remain hopeful, you're going to be bearing a lot of fruit. Because your life is like a tree of life. It's filled with the goodness of God. But you gotta remain in hope. We gotta be prisoners of hope, church. We gotta be prisoners of hope. You gotta remain hopeful every single day. We have the hope of glory within us. God, let me tell you, God is answering prayers. Yes. You may not see them when you want to, but He's answering prayers. So let's continue the lesson. He says here, in the book of Daniel, you know, and you know, Pastor Ruth just finished the study of Daniel not too long ago. So Daniel, you know, a man of God, was praying and asking God to give him a revelation, right? And we're going to summarize the story, but the Lord sent the angel Gabriel, right, to appear to Daniel and answer his prayer. And that you can find in Daniel 9:22-23. And we're going to go there because it's good to read the scripture. And I'm going to read from my version. 9:22-23, and it says, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplication or prayer, right, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved, therefore consider the matter and understand the vision. Right? So this is the point that he's making. Gabriel said that at the beginning of Daniel's prayer, the commandment, right, from God came for him to bring the answer. And if you read, right, how long it took, right, to bring the answer, it was about 3 minutes. A 3 minute lag time between God's command and the physical manifestation. And Andrew's saying here, right, the teacher here, he says, we make a lot of suppositions that if God is really God and something is His will, it just happens like the snap of a finger, or I like to call it like a microwave, right? People want things instantly. But that's not how it works. That's not how God works, and that is not true. So in this matter, right, God gave the command, and it took approximately 3 minutes for Gabriel to cover that distance. And, you know, we don't really have all the reasons for this, but it's not really important right now, right? The point that he's trying to make is that from the time that God gave the command, there was a lag time of approximately 3 minutes before it was manifested. Now, if that was the longest we had to believe for an answer to prayer, most of us could probably hold on in 3 minutes. I mean, come on. But that's not always the way, right? It's not always that way. And then he says that in Daniel 10, we find the same man praying another prayer, and this time it took 3 weeks for the answer to come. And many people who read this would say, well, why did God answer one of Daniel's prayers in 3 minutes? And the next time he prayed, he answered it in 3 weeks. Well, let's go to Daniel, right? Chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. And this is what it says, because I'm reading from the New King James. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Right? This is what it says. So this is showing that God commanded the messenger from the very first day of Daniel's prayer. But it took 3 weeks for that answer to manifest. But God is still faithful. Because scripture that says he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So God did answer. It just took 3 weeks for the answer to manifest. But at the end of the day, we have to stand on God's word and say he is faithful because he did answer.
Yeah.
But some people want it instantly. Well, sometimes it doesn't happen instantly. Sometimes God is still working behind the scenes, trying to get some people to do what they're supposed to do. Yeah. To shift, to line up, you know what I mean? Like, wow. But, you know, God answers prayer. It says here, the moment those words came out, God heard them and he answered.
Yeah.
So if we put chapter 9, which we read from Daniel, and we put chapter 10 together, you know, we can literally say that God did answer both prayers instantly. One took 3 minutes, the other took 3 weeks, but God wasn't the variable. And here's the point that Andrew's trying to make. God answers our prayers, right? We can agree on that, right? He does things, right? But there are a lot of other variables that can happen between the time that we ask God for something and the time that you actually get your answer.
Right.
So he answers prayers, and you see the answers manifest. And we have to believe, faith has to reach into the spiritual realm and bring the answer into the physical realm. So faith is one of the critical ingredients that we need to apply and mix in when we actually pray to God and ask him for something. So faith is a key ingredient when we're praying for something. You know, a lot of us, and I can put myself in there, I can be praying for something, but then maybe 10 minutes later, I may be speaking something contrary to what I prayed for, to what I asked God for. Mm-hmm. Been there.
That's true.
Been there. Yep. So we ourselves, we negate and we cancel the prayer that we prayed 10 minutes before. It's already canceled because of your unbelief, because of your doubt, because we allow the five senses, right? Hear, your sight, taste, smell, all that. Five senses, right? We allow to interrupt and to interfere with the prayer that we just prayed. We have all been there. I know I have. Yeah. I try not, right now I know more now, and I try to, I ain't going there. I won't even speak it out. I won't even speak out the symptoms.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Like, listen. Let me give you a little. This is true. You know, my daughter goes to a church in Arizona, and the pastor. She's been visiting this church for 4 weeks now, and the pastor said, I should have died over 100 times. So over 100 times he was in the military, then he came out. But over 100 times he's had symptoms. He has had negative reports from doctors giving him so much time to live. He said he should have been dead at least 100 times. But he's pastoring. He's still kicking, and he says, one thing that I learned, I do not speak my symptoms.
Right.
I don't care if I'm in pain, I will not say this hurts, or that hurts, or I have this, or I have that. I do not accept doctor's reports, I do not speak my symptoms, and I'm still here. But I should have been dead at least 100 times. like he's saying, there's been 100 opportunities for him not to be where he's at right now.
Right.
And that's what he says. So he is literally walking by faith.
By faith.
Every day.
Yeah.
Okay? So we have faith is the key ingredient and the critical ingredient for God answering our prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lesson continues on. It says, you know, we also see in verse 13, I guess it's 10:13. Let's see. I'm going to continue. But the prince, you know, God said, you know, your words were heard and I have come because of your words. That was the last sentence from verse 12 that we just read. Uh-huh. Verse 13 says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia, which stood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, the angel, right, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia, right? In other words, Satan was fighting the other angels. Satan came to interrupt that prayer. And Gabriel, the one that was fighting Satan, now he needed reinforcement. So Mark, the archangel, came in to help him out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you see, sometimes the answer is already there. But sometimes there is activity happening in the spiritual realm.
Right.
That we can't see. And this is why we got to continue to walk by faith and not give up, because your answer can be around the corner. Your breakthrough can be around the corner. You may quit right now at, let's say, 7:55. You may quit your prayer right now believing for a breakthrough when the breakthrough is going to happen at 7:58, but because you did not, you had no patience, and you weren't walking by faith, you gave up 3 minutes too soon. When the breakthrough was right there around the corner. That's why they say, you know what? You keep praying, you keep thanking God until you see the manifestation of your answered prayer. Because there's things happening in the spiritual realm.
Pray without ceasing.
Exactly. This is why the word says we need to pray without ceasing. That's why the word says, be still and know that I'm God. Meaning, be still on his word. Be anchored on his word, because God will bring that promise to pass. God will bring that prayer to pass as long as it's aligned to his will. It's aligned to his word. That is not a prayer that is amiss.
Right.
So, you know, this is saying a lot right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I'm going to continue on, because I know I'm interjecting, but I'm just speaking what I'm getting, right?
Mm-hmm. good.
You know, so, you know, again, this isn't talking about a physical person, but a demonic hindrance. An obstacle, and we all have them daily. We have them daily, every day. Satan tries to come in, right, and disrupt that which God has given you, or that which God has called you to do, or that ministry that God has given you. Whatever that ministry, your ministry, whatever. You know, can be at home, with your children, with your spouse, with your grandchildren. Ministry can be at work even. But right. Satan is there. He right. goes to and fro to see who he can devour and fool yep. and right. deceive. So this wasn't talking about a physical person. It was talking about a demonic entity that came to disturb. Satan is another variable in the process. And sometimes God answers our prayers, but, right? It's a but. But Satan hinders them. Through other people. Through other people. Hello. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
People sometimes allow Satan to use them. Satan will use people to come against you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Satan will use people to stop you. Satan will use people to fool you. Yeah. Satan will use people to stop you from fulfilling what God has for you. Satan will use people and oppresses people. Mm-hmm. So people are a hindrance, okay?
Right.
This is why we need discernment. God asks God for discernment. So if we're, look at this. If we're believing for finances, God isn't going to give you money personally.
Right.
Money's not going to come flowing from the sky, dropping from the sky. He's not going to counterfeit United States currency or any other currency, right, of this world. He's not going to make money rain down from heaven and put it in your pocket.
Right.
Let's go to scripture. Look. Look. Luke 6:38. I read this. I read this, Benny, for you. I took your place on Sunday. I read this on Sunday.
Okay.
I must have read at least four scriptures from tonight. But look at this. Luke 6:38. Oh, my goodness, my accent. I love it. Give. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. And running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you used, it will be measured back to you. So, God will move and answer your prayer, but it's going to come through people. Mm-hmm. Right? And yep, some people are bound by greed. And if they are angry, right, with you, or you're doing things to offend them, Satan can hinder the manifestation of your prayer through them.
Right.
Right? Because that's a bait. That's a bait for us, right? You either take the bait or you don't. We can be fooled by people.
Right.
But Satan is using them. He's deceiving the people, and then they're going to come against us. Man, right there, that can stop us. Mm-hmm. So when you're praying, especially for finances, you need to recognize that other people may be a part of your financial miracle, and you may have to pray for them.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
Right.
That's very interesting. I never even, this is like light bulb. I never even saw this way, that we got to pray for people, because they may be the ones hindering us. They're being used by Satan. And this is why sometimes we pray, Lord, you know, remove that stony heart and put in a heart of flesh, you know?
Yeah.
And the reality, yeah, some people are greedy. Some people are selfish. But again, they're being deceived. You know, I always say, listen, if you're not depositing a financial seed, don't expect a harvest. We gotta give into the Lord's kingdom. You gotta deposit a financial seed. I just spoke to, somebody just asked me this week. They said, you know, I don't want to go back to the church I'm going, right? They were going to church. And they asked me, and they say, you know, I feel like I want to pay my tithe, but I don't know if I should pay it in this church that I watch online or in your ministry. Meanwhile, they've never attended our ministry. They just know they know me, and you know I ministered to that person. So I said, you got to talk to God. I can't answer that for you. You know. You need to go to God. I'm not gonna be the one hindering you where you need to deposit. All I can tell you is that wherever you're being fed,
right,
that's where you should put your money. So if you're being fed by this outside church, pay your tithe there. If you feel you wanna give this ministry, Beacon of Light Church, an offering, do so. God is gonna bless it. God is going to bless the seed that is going to be deposited because it's being done with a cheerful heart. It's being done because you really want to.
That's the point. Yes.
You know what I mean? It's her desire to give into a ministry. Now, I don't know. I don't even know if this was last Sunday or not. I don't know if I spoke to somebody. I don't know. I find myself ministering almost every day now to people. But if you're giving out of obligation, no, I think we spoke about this last week, finances. If you're giving out of obligation, and even on, you know, Monday night, right, Vinny? If you're giving out of obligation, God can't honor that. He's not going to honor that. You got to give because you want to. You got to give because you got to give cheerfully. You know, if you give outside of love, God, it will profit you nothing. It's not going to do you any good.
Right.
But when you give cheerfully. Give because you want to. Give because, you know, if you're being fed a good word, give into that ministry, wherever that is. You know, I don't just give to Beacon of Light Church. I get good word from Andrew Womack Ministries. But that's where my heart wants to give that. And that's okay because I'm depositing seeds because I know that in due season, I'm going to see the harvest.
Right.
Because in the same, we just read it, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And I know my finances are running over.
Running over.
The promotion I got 2 years ago it was a 35% increase in my salary. 35%. Who does that? God.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a generous giver and I'm a cheerful giver. Again, if you give grudgingly, it profits you nothing. Amen. But we're talking about this.
That doesn't only apply to finances either.
No,
or giving.
It doesn't.
No.
Yes.
It applies to giving, period. Whether it's giving a hug, you want to give it cheerfully. Not like, I've got to hug this person out of obligation. But you're hugging them, showing them love. You're expressing a feeling, and a person can feel that coming from you. So if you're doing it and you're not doing it from the heart, or, you know, they're going to know. It's like, they're just going to just turn around and go, oh, so big. You know what I mean? So it's not only in finances that you have to do it cheerfully. It's in everything that you do.
And then it's like the phone to call the person to
see how they're doing. You really want to know how they're doing, not out of obligation. I got to check on this person.
Right.
Seeing it is like, I'm really concerned. Are you doing okay? They know it. They can feel it. And it comes back to you.
Yeah.
So I just want to say it's not always about the finance giving. It's
right.
about giving of yourself.
Right.
Because not everybody has finances.
Right.
You know? So I can give you an example. Like my sister was she moved up there and everything, and I was like, you know, come take, you know, help with mom and pop because they were getting older, and you know, she was by herself down mm-hmm. there. She came up, but she didn't have a job or anything. But she volunteered at the church every Saturday and I think Sundays where they gave out food and things of that nature. She did it. She just got up in the morning and went to do it. And, you know, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to give her this every week. And I was like, okay, I can't really afford this, but if you're telling me to do it, I am going to do it. So your blessing comes from what the pastor was just saying, your prayers. So obviously my sister must have been praying, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And so I was the intervention to fulfill her prayer. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But she was already giving. So he was giving back to her in a way that she needed, that she couldn't do for herself at the time. So
right.
it works, and it's circular. It really is circular. Because what you
right.
give somebody else, they're pouring into something else, and that person is pouring into something else. And it may not be the same kind of pouring. It may be emotional pouring versus financial pouring versus spiritual pouring. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, definitely. Because, you know, even when we pray on Wednesdays, we're praying for people. We're praying for the congregation. We're praying for the members of the church. We are declaring the word over every member of the church. We're declaring the word over the multitude, over the neighborhood of Shirley, the people that are going to enter. We're already praying. We're already speaking out in the atmosphere. Everything that we're going to be doing, we're going to give of ourselves to those people. And those people, in turn, they may be praying for a church right now. Lord, show me where to go. You know what I mean? But they may be praying. But we are the answers for those prayers. And people become answers for our prayers, you know?
Exactly.
Like you said. Exactly what Vinit said. And I want to read this scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3. And it says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not
love.
It profits me nothing.
Right.
Everything has to be motivated by love. And when you can take love, and I mean, God is love. Being in joy is being in love, right? So everything's motivated by love. If your heart is not in the right place, when you give, whether it's finances, like Vinit said, or anything else, it profits you nothing. It does you no good. You might as well do not. As a matter of fact, I heard a minister where, you know, she was giving her tithe, right? This is a testimony she gave. She was giving her tithe to the church, right? But then she was speaking out, you know, I hope my washing machine doesn't break down. And she was just speaking out, but yes, she's giving her tithe, right? But she was speaking contrary to the word. She wasn't really giving cheerfully because she still had that in her. You know, she was speaking opposite of what the word says. So she heard when God told her, you know, do me a favor, stop. Just stop tithing. Just stop. I don't want your money. Stop. And she had to stop cold. she stopped. And when her heart was ready, when God felt that her heart was ready to give and receive, because she had, you know, she's been talking to God and praying to God and reading the word, and she got revelation, then the Lord told her, now you can begin to tithe. Now your heart is ready. Now I can bless you. But he says, no. And I mean, that's a great point right there, you know.
It is a great point, because you can curse yourself in your giving.
You know?
You know, think of Ananias and Sapphira, right?
Yeah.
They didn't have to sell the house. It was there to begin with. Nobody told you not to give it. But when you give, and then you're lying about it. So it was like, I told you that sentence. The heart wasn't right.
It was a double whammy. You know, sometimes we do things, you know, we don't even realize we're doing, or sometimes we're speaking negative, or we're speaking opposite of what we're praying for, or we're giving cheerfully. Then the next second you're like looking at your checkbook and said, oh my God, I shouldn't have given that. I mean, you just canceled your blessing. Then you're not walking by faith, because you literally just cancel your blessing. I've done that. I know. You know? But anyway, you know, bottom line is, God is faithful. That's really the bottom line. God is faithful. He's never failed to answer any prayer that was based on his word or even prayed in faith. He's never failed us. God is a giver. He always gives. You may not see the manifestation right away. And again, it depends on the variables, right? What he said about faith, about, you know, hindrances, obstacles that come in. But at the end of the day, we're hoping that this lesson will help you to build your faith where really God wants it, right? And to let you know that God does answer prayers.
Oh, he does.
He answers your prayers.
Yes, he does.
He really does. So next time we pray, you know, make sure that you pray according to God's will. You pray in faith, with the faith of God, right? Because those answers are already there. Amen? It's already done. Believe that it's already done. It's finished. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's go to the answers, the questions. And I think we've read a lot of these scriptures already.
We did.
So, and it's even, I don't know if you have the lesson, but it's on the side of your lesson. Matthew 7:7-8, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asks, receives, and the one that seeks, finds, and the one that knocks, it shall be opened. So, questions. What can we expect from God if we ask?
Be given. We will receive.
That's right. What about when we seek? What can we expect from him?
We should expect to find him.
And what about when we knock?
The door will be open. Open doors.
Open doors. The floodgates open up.
Open doors.
I call it, you know, Rosie always says the flood, what? The floodgates, right? That's right.
No windows, no doors, but gates.
John 10:35. Let's go to the Gospel of John 10:35. And it says, if he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken.
Promises are yes.
Will God give anything less than what? No.
Yeah, will God give anything less than what his word has promised?
No.
Oh, he don't break his promises.
Mm-mm. Nope. All right, let's go to James 4, 1 to 3. I'd rather read it from New King James. All right, James 4. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Question. Why were these people hindered from receiving from God?
One, they asked and amiss. One, they were asking,
they were asking
for, the
amiss.
Reason, for the wrong reason.
Mm-hmm. Their motives.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Were not right. Yep. For the wrong reasons. That's right. Their
wrong
hearts.
Yep.
Their hearts were not right. They were wrong.
Right?
Because everything was about them.
Sorry.
And for them. And for them, right? So that was total selfishness on their part. That was their motive.
Mm-hmm.
James, 1 Peter 3, 7. Let's see. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. I'm reading the right one. Okay. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. If you are ministering, if you are mistreating your mate, what will be the result in your prayer life?
Your prayers will be hindered. I'll answer.
That's right.
Why are we always
the weaker?
Remember, the scripture was in another lesson. Remember that?
Yes. Uh-huh. And I was like, why is the woman always the weaker? I guess we could flip this too, and we could say the opposite.
Yeah.
Just the weaker person, whether
it's
male or female.
Well, I guess in the physical realm, right?
Physical,
in the
physical.
We are the weaker vessel. We're weaker. We're not as strong as men. Yeah. So I'm gonna leave it at that. I don't know.
Because in the spirit world, the same.
Yeah. Yes.
Man or woman,
yes.
It's all the same.
Amen. Yep. I think, did we read this already?
In biblical times, women were weaker because they weren't allowed to work. They weren't, you know.
Yeah.
Those things had to do. Unlike our current times, if the woman is not doing it, it ain't getting done. So.
Yeah, I mean, they were outcast, right?
Yeah.
Basically. Not allowed to speak either. Remember?
Right.
The wives were not allowed to speak.
Right. Anyway.
Yeah.
That was a good lesson, Pastor.
We're not done yet, but yes. We got two more. First John 5. 1 John 5:14 to 15. I think we read this. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So what is the key to have your prayers answered?
That's an excellent. That's easy.
Yeah.
It's to ask. And wait.
According to what?
And have the faith that it will be answered.
Right. It's got to be according to his will.
According to the word, yeah.
To his word, to his will, yep. Yep, we got to ask according to his will. All right, Mark, we went there too. Mark 11:24.
Right.
All right, therefore I say unto you, right? Yeah, Mark 11:23-24, but we read this one. Therefore I say unto you, what things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So when you pray, what are you to do? And it will be yours. You will have them.
Yep.
Amen.
I catch the one that they had this prayer. You know, this is one of his favorite. My catch.
Yes, one of.
Around.
Yes.
Yeah, like he said, he has received because he has believed.
Yes.
So he kind of like, you know, yeah, so. Powerful, powerful one.
Yeah, this is one, this is a, this man was healed from a tumor. He had a tumor on his chest, right here.
On the outside, yeah.
In the outside of his chest. And he had to wear a bra. That's how bad it was. And his wife used to, like, put ointment on it and stuff like that. They wanted to operate. And he was like, no, no, no. It was cancer. It was cancerous, that tumor. And he was praying, and it took him about 7 years to get revelation from this scripture, Mark 11:23-24. And when he got that revelation, because he came from, I think he came from like a Baptist church or something. And
no, it was called being a word of faith.
Word of faith. And but people were saying to him, you know, maybe you have sin or something, like people were just anyway. But 7 years until he got the revelation from Mark 11:23-24, and when the light bulb went on, and he always said, just like Rosie said, he says, I have received because I believed. So he began to confess the word and said, nope, I already have it. I'm already healed. And I think within a week, the wife said, it's going down. It's going down. He has nothing. He didn't have to do anything. It disappeared. I mean.
If you want to see his testimony, it's an amazing testimony. And it shows you pictures and everything, the biblical pictures
yes.
of it. As it was starting to grow and grow, and it shows all the tech. What if it was the X-ray things coming out through him, but you could see them on the top of his chest. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was gross.
Yes.
But it's an amazing, amazing testimony.
Yes, it is. So, you know, again, revelation. We need, you know, we need to have our own revelation from God. You know, you can have, you know, somebody can share with you their revelation, but until you get it yourself from God, it just changes everything. It changes everything, you know?
Yeah.
So, but anyway, powerful, powerful message. This was a good lesson, again.
Okay.
But does anybody have any comments? I don't know, anything. Any questions, comments?
No questions?
Okay.
Yeah, good conversation during the lesson.
Amen.